So I had just had my fourth child.
Oh,
so we have four kids. Nobody has a job, basically. So for the first year of the agency, my mom kept sending me like job links, like, hey, maybe you want to check out this available job. I'm like, no, I like quit a good job to do this. So anyway, it all ended up working out and the rest is history.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Well, so I don't know if you've heard this quote or not, but some of the things you said very kind of closely mirror that. And the quote is, to be an entrepreneur is like jumping out of a plane without a parachute, hoping to catch a bird on the way down.
Yeah. And luckily some of them flocked to me. I was lucky. Luckily, you know. Yeah, exactly what it was.
This episode of the Imperative Podcast is produced and distributed by Be Connected, a social media management firm in Northeast Wisconsin.
Welcome to episode 6 of the Imperative Podcast. My guest on episode 6 is Heather Arndt, and we're going to get into learning a lot more about Heather and her background. And but I'll give you the brief intro. So I know Heather as, let's see, a mother of four children, a talented actress, a supermodel. I don't know if you identify as a supermodel, but and then
short for that, but
certainly acting and modeling has been a big part of your career, and then of course, owner founder of the Bell Agency, and so Heather, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here, and so we just got done making Heather's cocktail. So if you've watched the podcast or listened to the podcast, you know that mixology is a big part of it. We make a cocktail inspired by our guest in some way. And so Heather is sitting there so patiently waiting to try this cocktail for the first time. If you'd like to see how it's made, we'll have a supplemental content that we'll put out there to show that. But Heather, if you don't mind, hold it up to the camera, maybe just show it off a little bit.
Here it is.
Perfect. Let's give it a try for the first time.
Let's try it. See what it is. Okay, this is good. I could drink this.
Yeah, it's all right. The cinnamon vanilla syrup has a stronger note to it than I thought it would because there's very little of it in there.
It's good though.
But it is good. It's a good balance, but it's definitely pronounced. And so as I was thinking about Heather and I talked a little bit before she came for the show today, and I asked her kind of like, what are your cocktail interests, if you will? And she mentioned champagne, and then she mentioned Moscow Mule. And so there's some inspiration here, certainly from the Moscow Mule. The ingredients are vodka, also in the mule. Orange juice, cinnamon, vanilla. So there's a little bit of a holiday influence there to me. Again, cinnamon is an ingredient that's somewhat inspires Christmas, and we're recording on the 22nd. And then some lime juice also in the mule, and ginger ale. Now the mule will have ginger beer. This is ginger ale, slightly different ingredient, but so it's inspired by the Moscow Mule. The ginger ale adds a little bit of bubbly that maybe references the champagne a little bit, but the flavor is definitely not something you would get from a Moscow Mule. Completely different flavor.
Totally different flavor, but I would drink this at the holidays, so I might have to make this, but I don't have that flavoring that you spoke of. So
yeah, the cinnamon vanilla syrup.
Yeah.
Again, if you listen to or watch the making of the cocktail, talk about the Torani cinnamon vanilla. Torani is a whole line of different flavored syrups that you can use for cooking, or you can use for cocktails, and you can get, like, typical grocery store might have one or two flavors of Torani, like a vanilla, something.
I've never even heard of Torani. So
oh, sure, yeah. But if you go to the World Market, so there's one in Appleton on your way back to Green Bay, and
stop there.
They will have a whole wall
of syrups
of Torani syrups all the way in the back.
Okay.
Kind of to the left, and you will find just about any.
I love that
flavor.
You know exactly where it is. To the back, to the left.
Uh huh. Yeah. I've,
it's three syrups in.
Pretty much. Yeah. You're gonna find the cinnamon vanilla just slightly below eye level and about the middle.
Exactly. Actually, they know me. They already have one set aside.
That's right. I'll call ahead for you.
You can
swing by. But so just a lot of fun to find different ingredients that you can make a cocktail with that maybe make it fairly unique. So anyway, Heather, you tried it?
I love it.
And she loves it. So
yeah,
I do too. This is a great flavor.
You can make this anytime for me, Mike.
Yeah, happy to do it.
We've got you didn't chintz out with like a small glass. You gave a full.
Yeah, that's the glass. That's the highball glass.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought about putting it in the Moscow Mule cup, but it's really not a Moscow Mule. So
right.
I thought, no, we're going to go with the highball. I think you could also consider this a vodka martini. So you could put it in a martini glass and do it that way.
And I used to drink a lot of martinis, a lot of cosmopolitans. So this is all just coming together, these drinks.
It's perfect. Yeah, it's like we planned it.
Exactly. Kind of.
A little bit.
A little bit. Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know if any naming inspiration is hitting you at the moment. No pressure, but if maybe throughout the episode too, we can kind of come back to it. And if you have any naming ideas.
It could be like a holiday meal celebration.
Sure.
You know, because it's... we're right around Christmas. It is inspired by the mule. We are celebrating champagne because we're almost in New Year, too. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this would be really great for, like, taking a poll. Poll time, you know? What do people think we should name
it?
Oh,
sure. Yeah.
Let the audience decide.
Let the audience weigh in on this.
Exactly. Give us some options.
All right. I wish we were live.
I know.
Because then we could...
Get live right now on Facebook. Here's what we got.
Right.
Okay, let me go live while we're doing the podcast. That was unplanned, guys, but
right,
we need a name for this.
Right, yeah. Let's see. It's a Friday at about 20 to 4 in the afternoon. Who do you think we'd get if we went live right now?
And it's a holiday weekend.
And a holiday weekend, yeah.
So people could be traveling last-minute shoppers is what's happening. All the
Probably,
guys are
yeah.
shopping right now.
That's true. So
okay.
all the ladies are at home just kicking back with, a cup of tea or something.
A cup of tea.
or maybe a cocktail that they might enjoy. So, all right, we'll let that simmer for a while. I'd like to transition to the next segment of the episode. So we're going to do something for the first time on the podcast. So
should I be nervous?
This is going to be fun. Next to you on the table you're sitting at is an ice bucket.
Okay.
In that ice bucket are the Imperative Podcast icebreakers.
Wow.
And so you can take the cover off the ice bucket and just kind of dig around in there. And pick a question at random. These are fun. There's nothing in here that's going to be like, ooh, I don't want to answer that question.
Okay, no pressure.
Yeah,
at
no,
all.
But if there's something that's like, just feel free. I mean, there's plenty of questions.
There's a lot of questions. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the question that I pulled is, what is a big challenge you see for your industry?
Okay.
And for people that...
It's kind of a heavy one, like right off the bat.
That really is. You told me that was like, I shouldn't be scared, but like right away, okay, what are the biggest challenges in your industry? I mean, there are so many in the industry that I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, obviously our industry survived COVID, which was extremely difficult. Being an actor, being a model, doing film, commercial, that's all in person. So we were doing nothing. That was a very scary time. And then this past year, for the people that were union, that they went on strike.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So I think the biggest challenge is sometimes surviving in this industry. It can be brutal. There's a lot of no's. And, you know, making the transition to be union or non-union or making these decisions. The whole industry is just very challenging. You have to have thick skin to be an actor. So I give props to everybody that's in this industry, including you, Mike, because you've definitely done some stuff. But for the people that are in it day in and day out, you really have to have just let it go. Do your audition, and you may not hear back ever about that, but you're constantly auditioning and you know, trying to make a name for yourself. So the biggest challenge is really staying relevant and being out there and always improving on your craft. And, you know,
So as you were talking, I thought a little bit about the sort of gig nature of a business like acting and modeling. So you're really only getting paid when you're working.
Right.
And so many people have to have, especially if they're starting out, they're going to have some kind of day job that pays the bills. And so that can be very challenging. In your case, as the owner of the Bell agency, a talent agency, you also have the challenges of being a business owner. And anybody that's owned a business will have a sense for, you know, some of those challenges, but I'm sure you deal with some unique ones too.
Yeah. And what's interesting about being a business owner of an agency in this industry, which you just spoke of it, that it's a gig industry, you're getting paid when you're working.
Mm-hmm.
It is the same thing as being an owner of the agency.
Sure.
It's sort of gig based as well, because unless you guys are working, there's a lot of work that I do behind the scenes. There's a lot of things I'm submitting talent on, you know, we're looking for new clients, doing different things, and none of that you're getting paid for until your talent are out there working. So, it definitely is a challenge, and unique to this industry, not like other businesses where, we're running shipments or we're doing this or we're selling this or we're selling that. Every day is different, and I never know what to expect.
Yeah. Well, so the thing that I think about is, the amount of work that goes into it. I think a lot of people probably glamorize the idea of acting and modeling. And then, you know, if you're, running an agency, you must to them have a very glamorous job, but it's a lot of work. And I think people don't really see that, right? They just see what shows up in that 30 seconds on the camera.
Right. And I feel like so many people want to be an actor. They want to be a model, but not all of those people put the time and work into it. It's just like, okay, book me on something. But I mean, there's a lot of training that goes behind being a strong actor or being a strong model or doing any of this. I work way more hours than I ever did when I worked for somebody else. I am constantly working. My kids thought for the last 12 years I had no friends. Because that's all they did was work and take care of them. So they didn't know any of my friends. I have two adult children now, and one that's in high school and one that's in middle school. So they're kind of leaving the nest, and I'm having more time now to myself. So I don't always have to be at home anymore. So now I actually have friends. So they were like, who are these people? I'm like, these are the friends that I've had that have just not seen me for like 21 years while I was raising kids.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's been interesting.
Yeah, there are definitely different phases in life. But anyway, let's grab another question. Maybe hopefully we get something a little bit more fun than that last one. That was a little too deep.
Okay. We start out deep and then we go light from there. Hopefully that was the only deep question. Okay.
Yeah.
What is your favorite role you've ever played?
Oh, fun. I like that one.
And I feel like the longer I've been in the industry, sometimes the harder it is to remember all the roles that I've played.
Right.
But what always comes to mind when I think of fun projects, and this is going to sound weird, but some of our projects for J.J. Keller, where we're doing like sexual harassment training.
Oh, funny. Okay.
And for some reason, I'm always cast as the harasser. And I'm like, what?
You're the harasser.
I'm the harasser.
Harassor.
Yeah. I was cast as the harasser the very first project we did.
That's funny.
And apparently I nailed it. So the next time we did it again, I was harassing people. And then we did diversity training with J.J. Keller as well. Mm-hmm. And I also harassed somebody. So on a normal daily basis, you know, people that don't know me are like, I could never see you doing that. But I'm like, just wait. Here it comes.
Yeah. So I got an opportunity to do one of those shoots. And mine was an active shooter.
Oh, yes.
I was involved in one of those. But yeah, harasser, that's really funny. Maybe they're just trying to like buck the stereotype a little bit. And
well, and it was interesting. So my second time harassing one of my talent, they didn't tell us, they didn't yell cut. So we were like given some lines and then they said, you just kind of improv the scene. No problem. We can do that. So I'm not supposed to let this guy leave. We're supposed to be out at this bar. I'm his client. We're celebrating this big sale.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get him to stay here. And I'm like, oh, let's go get some food. And he's like, oh, they have food here. We had some popcorn at the table. So I'm feeding him popcorn. And then I am rubbing his arm forever. And I'm like, thinking to myself, when are they going to yell cut? They had cut like a full
like
minute.
Like everybody's already left the set. You guys are just sitting there and you're rubbing his arm.
They didn't leave set, but they had definitely cut in their mind and just didn't say anything. Because eventually he kind of like did this little half glance over what's trying to be like coy about it, you know, thinking we're still running, and realized that they weren't even paying attention to us anymore. And we're like, are we cut? Oh, okay. So we're good. Okay, I'm done rubbing your arm.
So now you're actually harassing the guy.
I was actually off camera harassing now. Yeah. I mean, originally they were like, okay, you're going to rub his leg. I'm like, I'm going to rub his leg. Okay. Well, then we switched it to arms. So that was better. But after a while of rubbing a guy's arm with their arm hair, it feels real weird.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have that experience probably, but.
Well, I can't say I've ever had somebody rub my arm hair for lengths of time, but I can imagine after a while it was kind of numb.
Yeah,
him, like.
And to me, I was just like, okay, here we are. Like, you know, don't leave, just stay. My husband's out of town. You know, I'm saying all the things, all the things.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about how many different takes we often do on set. Like, if you're doing a scene, and that's another thing people probably have no appreciation for. You know, the one that they saw was like the 56th take of that.
Well,
scene.
You know what? I'm gonna go one up from there. And what other people also don't notice is sometimes, and this is especially prevalent for some reason when I'm shooting on film, they like to just do mine in one take.
And nice. Then,
no, not nice. Because like, okay, that was like our warm-up take, right?
Yeah,
like,
you could do it better, yeah.
Because everybody's always, you know, in a time crunch. Everything's an emergency. Mm-hmm. And I actually worked on a film this fall, and my scene partner was not there. So they just had me film by myself and just had the camera on me. And they said, oh, do you need somebody to read your lines, or can you just do it yourself? I'm like, well, it might be nice to have someone read the lines just so I can react appropriately, because I don't know all of their lines.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, you know what, just try to do it yourself. I'm like, okay. And so I did. I had to do all the lines myself, leave spacing in, and react to someone not saying anything. So people don't think about that either when they watch some of these things. And that's not the first time that's happened. There was another film I did, too, where we were shooting with a child, a minor. So they shot all of his scenes right away and let him go. But I was in a few scenes with him, and one of them was where he jumps out of a closet, scares me. I need to react and watch him run down the hallway, and then later I'm having a conversation with him. So now I'm reacting to nothing and being scared and watching no one run down the hallway. And those are definitely challenging. And again, no one's going to know that watching this film that, hey, no. She did that in one take with no one else. But yeah. It's crazy.
I will say, and this is probably one of those where, you know, unless you kind of have experience in the business, sort of being on set, acting or behind the camera, you probably don't really think about movies the way that we do.
Right.
And so I will often look at a scene, whether it's, you know, a Hollywood film or, you know, a film festival film, and I'll pick apart the directing, and I get really frustrated with directors because I see a scene and these actors are acting out the scene. And I think the director should not have stopped at that. They should have done another take. They should have not picked that take. There was things about it that I just get mad at the director for, because I feel like it wasn't the actor's fault.
Right.
That came off the way it did.
Continuity, like with their hair.
Continuity.
If they don't think about that, where it's like, okay, well, her hair's now behind her ear on that one. That doesn't happen all the time, but I'm always looking at the background actors.
Yeah,
or
sure.
The person that they're talking to, watching their reactions, just because it's interesting to take a look outside of the main character that's speaking to see how they're reacting. And that's just totally from an actor's perspective. Most people obviously are watching the action in the scene and the lead that's talking.
So that reminded me of a conversation you and I had early on when, I'm one of Heather's talent. You've picked up on that. I don't know how you refer to us.
Yeah, you're my talent.
Talent, yeah.
Yeah, one of my actors.
Yeah, and so when I first met you, we got to talking like about you representing me, and I said, well, you know, I've got a crooked nose. I'm kind of short. You know, I'm bald. I'm not sure if I'm a great like model, but I love acting, so I'd love to do more acting. And so anyway, it reminded me of that conversation. And what I showed up one time for actually a modeling shoot, and the whoever the director was, or I don't know what they call themselves when it's more of a photo shoot versus a video shoot, but they said, you know why we picked you? And I said, I'd honestly love to know. And he's like, because you're just an average looking guy.
How did that make you feel, Mike? Good right? or bad?
Yeah. You? So I thought, well, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. I am kind of an average looking guy. And, but the point was they didn't want somebody that looked like a model.
Right.
They wanted somebody that looked sort of like normal. And my joke has always been in, especially in movies, there's a lot of work for ugly people. They really only need the good looking people for like the main shots, but then there's all these other people they fill in around that, you know, are quote ugly. Like I say that it's a bit of a joke, but anyway, that reminded me of,
I love the unique, interesting looking characters. Look at like Owen Wilson, and just all of those. I mean, and you remember them, and they're strong actors, and they have that unique look that nobody else has. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of Dirty Dancing. Who's the girl from Dirty Dancing? And then she ended up changing her nose and then never did any work again because, you know what I mean? She had her own look. And then she lost that, it was kind of like lost her edge in a way.
Right.
So don't try to be like everybody else, kids.
Yeah, for sure. For
be yourself.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, so let's try another question out of the,
out of the bucket. Here we go.
What's next?
Have any of your talent really made it big? Well, I mean, that's kind of a loaded question too. I mean, no one's an A-lister at this point.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, a lot of them have, you know, moved. I shouldn't say a lot of them. I actually keep my talent pool fairly small, as you know. I don't bring on everybody and anybody. I think the general public looks at it as, hey, I'm going to sign up and then we're in. Mm-hmm. And that's not the way it works. I pick and choose who I bring on because I'm maybe looking to fill some gaps, or we do so much on camera work too. So I'm always looking for actors, and you don't have to be the strongest actor. And I'm okay with that if you're new, but you know, I'm always looking for something like that. But I've had talent that have become SAG. We worked on a lot of SAG projects, especially when the Packers were doing well and they would come into town. I don't know if you worked in any of those projects.
I
can't remember anymore.
Yeah.
I used to know every project everybody worked on. That was a long time ago, but I don't anymore. But some people have moved on to California. Some people are still working in our closest major market in Chicago. You know, we've had people on, TV series and things like that. But I don't have anybody that has worked with like George Clooney yet or Tom Cruise that are in a movie with him. And I say yet because, you know, it only takes one opportunity that can change that. So
I remember how cool I thought it was when I first got cast for like a national commercial. So typically with the Packers, right, in this area.
Yep.
And I've done a few of those over the years. So I've been able to be on set with some cool Packer players, all that kind of big names. And then the first time I did a nationally aired episode of 2020, I don't know if you remember that.
Yes, I do, because 2020 was like my favorite show ever. So when 2020 called me, I still remember it because I got their call. I was in my car. I mean, I remember that day very well.
Okay.
I got a voicemail and they said, hey, so-and-so from ABC News 2020. I was like, what now? Like literally my favorite show. Like those shows, like 48 Hours, all the unsolved mysteries, those were just everything that I watched. So I called her back immediately and I was super excited for that project. And it was so, so cool. And our main actor, you know, got flown out west and out east.
Mm-hmm.
And for people that don't know, it was about, you know, these are obviously like true stories that we reenact, but it was about a bank heist, which how fun is that?
Yeah, super cool.
Super cool. And, you know, this stuff happened in Milwaukee. So we filmed in Milwaukee and you were part of that with Jody as well.
And now Jody's out in LA and
Jody, I think she's out actually in Texas now.
Is she in Texas? I saw some things that she posts because she's got
she could be other places.
Social media presence and
I love Jody. If you're listening, we love you.
Yeah. But I want to say whatever I saw that she posted, in my mind it was in LA. Like that's the impression I was left
and
with.
And she's traveling. You know, mm-hmm. We're all traveling. Are you traveling, Mike? Because we actually took some of our talent out to New York to film at a casino. Last year, and right now we're working on a project in Miami. There's a potential one out in California, and then we are going to shoot back again in New York as well. So we do the majority of our work in the Midwest, but I have one client that I work with who takes me everywhere, so I'm all about it.
All those exotic locations, and I got a call back from Michigan.
Hey, I go wherever it leads you, right?
No, it's cool. I know you know this about me, but it's been a hobby, and I enjoy doing it when I have the opportunity. But I don't have the schedule that allows for every casting, and I wish I did. Maybe someday, if you're still at it, Heather,
I'm not thrown in the towel. This is like my life's work. You know, mm-hmm. This is I feel like this industry. I mean, I didn't always think I'd have an agency, but like this industry and being an actor and being in this industry is something that's I feel like always been a part of me. I knew that from when I was very, very little, like that was what I wanted to do. And I think I always knew I was an entrepreneur at heart, mm-hmm. as well. Having a day job where somebody else is in control of everything was difficult. So before I had my own agency, I was always involved in this industry, but, I would work in like marketing, advertising, outside sales. So I was still setting my own schedule and doing my own thing, mm-hmm. and still working in this industry as well. So, it's nothing I'm going to give up. I'm going to be around.
Yeah. Well, good. Cause, I plan on being, one of the people they cast when they're like looking for like 70 and up.
Yeah. So, you know what? We have a lot of work for, senior citizens, as you say, although right. Isn't senior citizen like 55 and up now? Because like I'm inching.
It right. Yeah. No, no, it definitely is. And as I kind of see more and more flecks of gray in my beard, I think, well, it won't be long now, and I'll be considered for those castings.
My ARP card. Exactly.
Yeah,
so. Do you know what's really crazy is thinking about that, and I actually just saw a posting on Facebook. Someone was selling. This is so ridiculous. It's a little off topic, but someone was selling a wheelchair. And like it was a brand new, super nice one, like $20. I considered buying it because in this industry, you never know what you're gonna need, or we're always working on creative projects. I'm like, do I need a wheelchair just in case? First, I talked myself out of it.
That's funny.
Figured we could go down like the crutches route if we needed, but.
So that actually reminds me of one of the questions that's in the ice bucket that I'm just gonna ask you.
Okay.
So what is the strangest talent that you've ever been asked to cast for?
Oh, strangest man. You're really making me think here. I would say one of the most difficult ones initially was I had a client come to me saying, we need a female talent in the age range of, it was like early 20s, like in their 20s. Mm-hmm. So first of all, a female in their 20s that has prior spokesperson experience that is fluent in Mandarin.
Oh boy. All right.
Okay. So, and it's not just anybody that speaks Mandarin. We're really a very thin market here of women in their 20s already that have done spokesperson and it's model-esque. They want to look model-esque and speaks Mandarin. I just want you to know that I did cover that casting.
That's outstanding.
And,
I love that.
And ended up signing that woman, and she has just been a blessing, and she's awesome. I love her. I'm so glad that casting came up, but like I thought to myself, okay, who do I know that speaks Mandarin that fits this bill?
Right,
so that was
right.
Definitely.
what a cool challenge. I mean, I like challenges, and I see when you put out, every now and then you kind of put the word out, like I need somebody with this set of skills or that fits this profile. And I always think it's really interesting. Like, wow, what kind of project must that be?
Right. I mean, because I don't always need a kid that looks great on camera that's a super skateboarder or, whatever the case may be. So some of those castings, then, I'll publicly post those too, because I don't, And, you know, even like with you in my talent pool, I don't know every skill, specific skill that you guys have.
Sure.
Or maybe you learned Mandarin during COVID and now you speak fluent Mandarin. I don't know.
Yeah.
or, you know, they're looking for someone that's pregnant. I don't, no one messages me, Mike, to say, hey, I'm pregnant now. And in case you look, well, I shouldn't say that. Some people do, but like people don't stay on top of that. Or I've had talent that have moved to different states mm-hmm. that didn't tell me. And then they're wanted for a casting. They're like, yeah, I don't live there anymore. Okay. Good, good. Thank you for the update.
Yeah, thanks for the update.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Let's grab another question out of the
All
bucket.
Right. Oh, man, you give me toughies. Let's see here. Who came up with these questions, Mike?
I did.
okay. He has some of these drinks beforehand. He's like, let's really make her think. Do you prefer union or non-union castings? Well, the easy answer would be, obviously, I prefer non-union because we live in a non-union market.
Mm-hmm.
So those are easy peasy. But I do like union projects because it's a whole different ballgame. So mm-hmm. we've definitely cast on union projects, and those we don't have a lot of union talent here because, again, we're a non-union market. But
right.
there's a way, and I won't get into all the details here for everybody, but there's a way to have you guys be union for the day,
mm-hmm.
and then you get all the benefits of being union, which means you have to take breaks at a certain time.
Right.
We were on a project we filmed with Aaron Rodgers, and I would say about, I don't know, a third of our talent were cast as union, and then the rest were non-union, like, background extras. So, and then they had this, like, taped-off section just for the union people,
uh-huh.
and they had, like, this sit-down, delicious lunch uh-huh. and whatever. And then for the non-union people, there's some string cheese out the door that you guys could have, because the union people had to eat at a certain time. You had to have breaks at a certain time. You know, with union, there's, like, charges for everything, so they don't want to be late for anything. With non-union, it's like, all right, you guys, grab a snack and we're good to go. But the rest of the onlookers were looking over to that little group of the union people going, okay, mm-hmm. what'd you guys get over there? Is that lobster? What is that?
I don't know if I was on the same shoot that you're talking about, but I was on a union shoot with Aaron Rodgers. And
was
I
it
was
State Farm?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So we cast 253 people on that shoot. And I cast that alone. You know, this was years ago, and now if that project would have come up, I would have contracted somebody to assist me on that. But mm-hmm. I did not sleep for like 5 days. I'm not even kidding you. My daughter ate ice cream for dinner, fell asleep with a tub. I was, and on top of it, the client changed the call time and the date like two separate times. So I had 253 people responding to my initial confirmation, which mm-hmm. then changed. So then I had people responding to that one while still responding to the first one. And then we changed it a third time. So it was a hot mess. And then when I arrived on set, well, I'm getting text messages, I'm getting Facebook messages, I'm getting phone calls. My phone was going off constantly. I arrived there and the client's like, actually, can we do a rush casting? Can we get some more people here? I'm like, of course we can.
Because you've got just the huge talent pool.
I was like, absolutely. You know, that's always my answer.
Right.
Of course I can do that. I never say no. Of course I'll cover it. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, the answer is always yes.
Yeah. But what's super great about like the talent that I have, like I feel like all of us have become so close.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we don't see each other all the time, there's just kind of like this tight-knit community because it is a smaller group. And everyone is super supportive of one another.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get cast or if you get cast,
everybody
lifts everybody else up. And if I need something, my talent always step up. And, you know, shout out to Amanda Lauer. She had, over the years, like, rock star. Like, and she has connections
she's
interviewing people all the time for, she writes for a newspaper, right? So
For business journals and whatnot, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So she has been great. So just wanted to acknowledge her as well. She has been so great over the years.
So connecting the dots for folks, Amanda Lauer is my cousin. And thinking about it now, I need to get Amanda on the show. So
yes.
The podcast
she's
is
writing books. She's
mixology, music, and entertainment. She mm-hmm. definitely fits into the entertainment. And of course, she's a actress and model with the Bell Agency as well.
Yes. And her son is.
And her son. I've been in castings with her son, which is another story because, you know, we're actually related. Right.
He's fantastic. Yeah. First of all, he looks super young.
He does.
He looks like, you know, he just graduated high school.
He's in his 30s.
Yeah. and he has kids. He is just so wonderful, and he's always open to whatever. There was a film that I had that he auditioned for, and he got cast on. And they were going to have him wear this, like, little weird, like, bikini, I don't know. It was something super weird. Okay. He's always like, yeah, no problem. He's just, he's so laid back. Like, the whole Lauer clan is just so warm and so welcoming, and just props to the Lauers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks.
But, not fucking up here. Okay.
Yeah, no.
Should I pick another one?
Right. Okay. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Well, you know what? Why don't you pick another one?
All right.
There's more in there than we'll get to.
There's a lot in here.
So it'd be fun to get to a few more.
Man. Okay. Who is the most famous person you've ever been on set with? So as far as being famous, and one that I talk about often because love this person. And we actually just mentioned Dirty Dancing before.
We did.
I was on set with Patrick Swayze.
Aw, that's awesome.
On his last television series, The Beast, that shot out in Chicago before he passed away.
Uh-huh.
I'd actually just done an off-Broadway show with Tony Patelis. It was a traveling show. He's an actor out of New York. They had come to Green Bay to do this show, and I played his trophy wife because he was quite a bit older than me. And my daughters...
Of course he was.
Yeah, my daughters in this show looked very close in age to me. They were younger than me, but, you know.
Anyway, not by much.
Yeah, so I had to be a trophy wife in that.
Right.
But he actually knew Patrick Swayze, and he was one of Patrick's first friends when Patrick moved to New York.
Okay.
So I had told him, hey, I'm cast on the show, and I'm going to see Patrick Swayze. I thought that was such a big deal. I'm like, oh, my God, no one puts baby in a corner. And he's like, okay, just, you know, tell him I say hello when you see him. We get on set, and they're like, do not talk to Patrick unless Patrick talks to you.
Of course, yeah, they always say that.
Yeah, like you're going to get kicked off. So it didn't come up organically. He did come up and talk to me, and we were having a conversation, but I didn't want to be like, and by the way, I know so-and-so. But he was fantastic to work with. That was wonderful. Yeah.
That's cool.
So,
that's
yeah.
That's cool. Very cool.
What about you? Have you worked with anybody? Like?
Well, the most famous person I've been on set with... all the Packers, like Rodgers, yes. And mm-hmm. currently like Coach LaFleur, like Jordy Nelson, going back a ways. But the most famous person is actually Johnny Depp.
Oh, so, on Public Enemies?
Public Enemies, yeah. Okay. When that movie came to town, they did a casting, and mm-hmm. it was one of those public castings where they, you know, thousands
so
of people just show up. Yeah. And so you go thinking, I'm not going to get picked, but that's fine. You know, you got to do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And they had so many people there.
Yeah.
And, you know, another cool person that I actually got to interview was Tony Shalhoub. I mean,
oh, super cool.
Wings, the monk. He's on mm-hmm. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. If you haven't seen that series, please watch it. It's amazing. So, and what a nice guy, just down mm-hmm. to earth and from this area.
From this area. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So cool. Love being in this industry.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super fun. And like for me, it's never been about being famous or, kind of that kind of thing. In fact, I'm a terrible self-promoter. I actually kind of suck at it. So to me, it was like just the process, the creative process, getting to be part of it. I've only seen like less than half of the work that I've done.
I mean, that's true though.
You don't ever see.
You gotta dig deep for that stuff.
The finished product, you know, because it's aired in some other market or
they never send it to you.
Or they, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So
no offense to any of my production companies. I love you all. I mean, and I really do because they were some of the first people that, you know, I got started with. I mean, it was a grassroots effort. Mm-hmm. I was basically going door to door, knocking on people's doors saying, this is who I am. And this is like, this is what I'm doing now.
Right.
And I didn't mm-hmm. know, no one knew me. No one knew who I was. Mm-hmm. But I always tell Michelle from North Coast, like she was one of the first people that worked with me. So mm-hmm. I always near and dear to my heart. And then Chris from Launch Film, this is when I first got started. He called me and had a whole conversation with me. And he's like, you know, I want to see you win. And I was like, who is this guy? Because I had no rapport with him at this point. I didn't know who he was. Is he just like trying to scam me? Is he being legit? But he really was. And he's like, you know, I want to. So I had all of these unsuspecting supportive people in my corner, wanting to see me win and thrive, which was really awesome. And shortly after I formed, Miller Lite called and said, hey, we're doing a shoot and it was going to be at Lambeau. And who do you have? Oh, I had nobody. I just formed, you know? So I was,
I think you had me.
Were you on that shoot? I can't remember.
I don't know if I was on the shoot, but I know I'm one of your early talent.
I mean, this was like legit. Like I think I had signed a person.
Okay.
Like
okay.
I had just formed. So I had reached out to some family and friends that I knew could probably do this. So in total, including myself, I had a dozen people. Well, of course, I didn't say, oh, I only have a dozen people. I literally just formed. Right. I was like, this is all I have that's available.
Sure.
So they did. They booked us all. And that was the first time that I had. They had us sit at a table and they went around with a camera. And since they had to use other agencies, since they only had 12 people, you had to say your name and what agency you're with so they could remember.
Sure.
And that was the first time I heard people say the Bell Agency.
The Bell Agency. Oh,
which was
cool.
Really surreal and felt weird because it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, well, I just came up with this. You know what I mean? It was kind of like, wasn't a household name, I guess. And now it's not weird if somebody says the Bell Agency, but people say it all different ways though too. Bell Talent Agency. Bell Talent.
Sure. Oh, sure. Yeah.
So I'm always like, it's funny. I was going to, and we should do this. I was going to make a little spoof on that because people are always, you know, it all comes back and eventually it's just Bell. But, you know, I'm always, it's like, it's the Bell Agency or some people like Bell Talent Agency, Bell Talent. So I think it'd be funny to do a little spoof on that.
Yeah. A little like spontaneous, like skit or something.
No matter how you say it, we're here for you. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I never get to see other people's audition videos, but you always have to slate, right? I'm Mike Lauer. I'm with the Bell Agency. That's how I always say it.
Right.
Is that good?
That's perfect.
Okay.
That's perfect.
All right. So I don't know what other people
do. Recently had someone slate it that said, they were with me, like my name.
I'm with Heather.
With Heather Arndt.
Like, are you dating?
That.
Or
thank you. Yeah, it wasn't someone I was dating. No, and I love that you included my name, but also include the agency because it was like for a major commercial, and I'm like, they don't know me. So
right,
might
want
to say the agency name.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
otherwise, great. I love it.
Who's Heather?
Yeah.
The Heather, well, you the Heather know. Agency?
Like, yeah, she's a household name. Okay, you should know her.
Right. Yeah, well, so there are a ton more questions, but we're going to run out of time, and I do want to switch gears.
Okay.
So one of the things that you were just talking about, really the name, is a great place for us to kind of go back and start, and so I want to talk a little bit origin story.
Yeah.
And so I want a couple of things. How did you get into acting, modeling, or maybe which one was first, and then the sort of origin story around the Bell Agency, even that, like, what... Where'd the name come from? So you pick where you want to start and all of that.
Right. So like I had told you earlier, this is kind of, I don't know, just something that's always been in me as an actor. I look at myself as definitely an actor. I do voice work. I do modeling. I do acting. But I love acting is my forte. I love on-camera stuff. I love film work. So that's what I love to do. And I'd always kind of been doing that. And throughout high school, doing stuff like that, and not to age myself, but we didn't have the internet back then. And so when I graduated high school and I grew up in a small town, my mom was like, okay, and now you need to, you know, go get a real job.
That's right. Yeah.
Like your dreams are dashed because there was no internet. We had encyclopedias and there was nowhere to, I didn't know anybody in the industry. So there was nowhere to find resources. Now you can go on the internet and you can connect with everybody. And we have social media and we didn't have that. So, it was kind of like my whole childhood dreams and everything leading up to it. You know, I'd watch soap operas every day because my mom watched them. And that's where I taught myself how to cry on cue. And so I was always practicing in the mirror and how to be dramatic and all. So that worked out really well for people that dated me.
Right.
I learned that the hard way. Okay. But so I did. I ended up going to college and then I just went for business administration because I was like, it was kind of depressing. Like, okay, well, I guess that's just over. That part of that chapter's done. And it wasn't until I was in advertising and marketing, and I went out to one of my clients. I worked with home builders, mortgage companies, and real estate agents was kind of like the niche of my clients. Mm-hmm. And I went out to one of them, and I was talking to them about their advertising and marketing, and they had, I think I had spoke to them about something that had transpired at work. Because, you know, I'm not chatty at all, but I was riding in the elevator and I was working for the newspaper at the time for Gannett. And one of the photographers was riding down the elevator with me, which was ironic because I never took the elevator. I always took the stairs. And we got to talking and they said, I'm looking for a cover model for this project that I'm working on. So immediately I was like, oh, I'll do it. So I started working with this photographer doing modeling kind of for my work, which was kind of weird. And I had told my client this and they said, well, why don't you sign up for an agency? And I thought, I kind of was like, no, I didn't really know what that entailed. I really didn't know anything. So it was actually one of my clients that kind of pushed me. And then this photographer, as I started working with him, that pushed me into actually reaching out to an agency and getting signed. So then I got signed and I started doing projects with them. But I was finding a lot of my own work then. The internet's now alive and well. Mm-hmm. It was Craigslist back then.
I remember doing Craigslist.
Because we didn't have all mm-hmm. these social media platforms. And I started doing work in Chicago and Milwaukee and finding things out on my own and still working for my agency. Mm-hmm. And then also working for my own work, doing different projects for them besides like my day job. And I loved it. But the agency that I had at the time wasn't booking me on things that they probably could have. And I only say that because I ended up getting booked on a project as a spokesperson. And the client, I got out there and the client's like, oh, our teleprompter is not working. And I had all the lines memorized, so I was good to go.
All right.
No problem. And they said, well, it's super strange. Your agency didn't originally submit you and we didn't like any of their options. So we asked them to send you more and then they finally submitted you. And I was like, oh, okay. And they're like, well, you just did so great. We'd love to work with you again. And so that was a little disheartening to hear. Eventually, obviously, I ended up leaving my agency because I would always ask them like, hey, like, you know, what's going on? Because I knew I was a strong actor and why am I not getting booked? And they're just like, oh, we're so slow. We're so slow. And you know me, I'm pretty transparent. I'll usually just be like, this is what I got going on. But anyway, I ended up having a conversation with a friend, and this is kind of really how the agency started, where I was frustrated with the agency I was with, and I was kind mm-hmm. of, I was doing all this work on my own. My agency was asking me where I was finding the work, which I thought was weird.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know, and they didn't offer me like any training because I remember when I first got booked on a project, like they didn't give me a lot of information. They didn't tell me like, this is what's going to happen. I kind of just went in cold. And so I said, you know, I'd really want to be there for the talent that I have and offer training and do these different things. And a friend had said, well, why don't you just do it? And I thought, what? And so long story short, I basically just jumped off a cliff. I quit my job and I had a really good paying job at the time. I had a company car, a company credit card. I had a great salary with 3 commission plans.
Oh, boy.
And I said, I'm quitting. And I had, there was no ground that I could see below me. So I was like, uh-huh. here we go.
Uh-huh.
And that's really kind of how the agency started. I didn't have a big game plan. I just dove in and I figured I'm going to figure it out on the way. Because I had been on, you know, as an actor, I'd been on that side of the industry for a very long time. I had never been on the agency side.
Mm-hmm.
I never worked for an agency. So I was mm-hmm. like, well, here we go. And at the time I was married and as soon as I quit my job, my husband at the time, he got let go from his job. So I had just had my 4th child.
Oh,
boy. So we have 4 kids. Nobody has a job basically. So for the first year of the agency, my mom kept sending me like job links, like, hey, maybe you want to check out this available job. I'm like, no, I like quit a good job to do this. So anyway, it all ended up working out and the rest is history.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Well, so I don't know if you've heard this quote or not, but some of the things you said very kind of closely mirror that. And the quote is, to be an entrepreneur is like jumping out of a plane without a parachute, hoping to catch a bird on the way down.
Yeah. And luckily some of them flocked to me. I was lucky. Luckily, you know, yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was the scariest thing in my life. Part of me is like, I don't know if I could do it right now at my age, but you know, it was the scariest thing that I had done up until that point, and probably even now.
Yeah.
And just, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to succeed or fail, but I realized that I needed to succeed because I'm going to make this work. It was my mentality. I'm going to make it work. So,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I need to take, we're going to edit this out. Just a quick cut.
Yeah. I don't understand that at all.
Yeah. So the kids, I forgot to close the door here to the studio, and the kids were running by making noise, and I heard it. I don't know if you could pick it up. Just,
you know, it's
faintly.
Part of it. I only have the left ear, remember?
Oh, that's right. It was all part of my design.
The other one's just covered, so I hear nothing. So I'm really only hearing out of one ear.
Oh, funny. Yeah. Well, so anyway, there's something that I thought of while you were talking, and that is the hard work that you put in personally. And I will never miss an opportunity to talk up the Bell Agency, whether that's to another talent on another set, on set with another agency, or even somebody who's already with you, but maybe newly signed or something. Or sometimes it's the client. And we get to talking about, oh, you're with the Bell Agency? Isn't Heather great? Aww. And everybody talks about how hard you work and just how much they enjoy working with you. And so that is a common theme that I get everywhere on set, whether it's client or other talent. And so you've done a great job of establishing your reputation, and you've really built something to be proud of. And so good for you. And I think that's just wonderful.
Thank you so much. I mean, that was kind of my mentality going into it, was like, I am just going to work, and I'm going to say yes to whatever, and I'm going to make it happen. So really, I think for me, getting ahead and really building that was being responsive, always being responsive. You know, now and I'm going into my 12th year, which is crazy. And now I'm kind of like, okay, Heather, sometimes you need to quit working. Sometimes. So now I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, I'm bringing, you know, this is actually 2024 is my year of bringing people on and delegating things off. So now that I could have more time also to just be in this, immerse myself in the industry, and then train other people to be agents as well, mm-hmm. For the agency, and grow it that way, because there's so much more that I could do as well. But I've been doing it all my own for mm-hmm. 12 years.
Yeah.
So as you can tell, I'm not the best delegator, because I'm like, I'll just do it myself.
that as a, you know, so not to get into my story too much, but as an entrepreneur and as a business person, that is one of the hardest skills to learn, is the skill of delegating.
Yes. Because no one's going to do it like you.
They won't.
Or no one's going to care like you do.
And you have to accept that.
And that's what's hard, because, you know, again, like you said, you build up a reputation of who you are and who your business is. Yep. And those are the expectations. And is somebody else going to live up to that?
And you know, you try to articulate those expectations and the brand, you know, sort of image or you know, the level of I don't know, customer service or whatever it is, you mm-hmm. know, that you try to convey to those people. And then you just have to trust them, know that they're going to make mistakes. They're not going to get it
hardest.
Right.
See, that's the hardest. And I think too, even like with parenting, that was always the hardest too for me. So that all goes hand in hand, my parenting and entrepreneurship, because I always tell, you know, friends that like my mom is like the pinnacle of the mom you want, and she'll let you make mistakes. She'll let you get dirty, where I'm like, oh, don't do that. You're going to get dirty. So I always love bringing my kids over to my parents' house, because all of my kids actually learn to ride their bike at my parents' house.
Okay.
And I know how I am. I'm fully aware. I have great self-awareness of who I am. Uh-huh. And I might get a little, don't do that. And then that'll stress them out. So when it came to driving, they all go out to my parents, and my dad, who's almost 80 years old, takes them driving. He's so sweet.
That's awesome.
And so kind. So child number 3 is going to be heading out to go driving with my dad.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's my dad, and my brother did volunteer as well. So bless their souls, because I would have a really hard time doing that, you know, and just mm-hmm. taking a step back and being like, okay, oh, stop. Why aren't you stopping? I've got my imaginary brake that's not stopping.
I was just in the car with my 17-year-old a couple days ago, and I found myself pushing my foot into the floor where the brake would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's scary. Now, do you say anything? Like,
no.
You just, okay.
No,
you know.
I bite my tongue.
You've learned. Okay, see, I knew that I might say something, so I'm like, you know what? It's probably just going to be best, because my dad's all like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, we drive to the Frosty Tip. You know, do you know where the Frosty Tip
is? I do, yeah.
On your way to Door County? Yeah. They live out in Luxembourg, so it's kind of, you know. So that's the thing. They drive out to the Frosty Tip, which right now it's obviously closed, but get an ice cream, drive back.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're all, everyone's perfect. Super calm out there, yeah.
And now they're all going to have that memory. And that's how cool is that?
Yeah, and knowing that my mom never taught us to drive. Exactly. What a what a memory, Mike.
No, the memory of their grandpa. Something they'll always
absolutely
cherish for sure.
Such a sweetheart. Yep.
But anyway, going back to the origin story, I don't think I heard you talk about the name at all. And so I was curious where the name came from.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not a huge, super fascinating story, but it was more of a brainstorm.
Okay.
A lot of people think that I may have named it after my youngest, Isabel, because she was just born.
Uh-huh.
And then I started the agency right after she was born.
You should just go with that.
Yeah, you know, I'll just tell
her
that.
I'm kidding.
But it was more of, you know, I really liked Belle and the meaning behind it, you know, kind of like beauty and the logo that we have with the butterfly, and you know, and really it talks about, to me, it speaks to like transformation. There's so much transformation, not only in growth in this industry, but who we become on each set. So you're always kind of being something different. It's always mm-hmm. changing. So that's kind of where the butterfly came from, is just the transformation that we all make on set, or we grow as individuals throughout that, because, you know, we don't all start as butterflies either. And Belle just kind of came about, just kind of thinking about, and beauty is subjective. So I liked Belle and beauty, but that means so many different things. So that's kind of.
Yeah. Well, see, now that, I think that's great. Because it really speaks to the brand. Like, who are we as a brand? So I think that's a great story. Maybe not some like divine inspiration or anything, but certainly very thoughtful in terms of the name and the branding. So thanks for that. This is a little bit different than past episodes. Again, we went with the icebreakers, but one of the things I talk about is a little bit of kind of an origin type thing, but how do we know each other? So I'm going to ask you, do you remember when we met the first time?
Actually, I was going to say that earlier when you were talking about it, I'm like, I actually don't remember really anybody's first meeting because I've met so many people.
And I didn't expect you to remember it. And I'm not even sure why I remember it, except that I think I had done this thing right with Public Enemies, and I got to be in a scene with Johnny Depp, and that was so cool. And I thought, I want to keep doing this. So actually my first like acting experience on camera was in a scene with Johnny Depp. So talk about starting high and then like
dropping down.
Reality kind of sets in, right? But I had been a musician before that, so I'd been used to being on stage, and I did that the whole musical and theater thing and whatnot in high school and some things in college, but I'd never been like on camera. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I did that, and then I did the Craigslist thing that you talked about. I found gigs through Craigslist. And
don't look there now.
No. Yeah.
Kids, stay away.
We're not going to go into that, but
no.
Don't.
Yeah, they just want to see some shots of your feet. Please come to Chicago. No, don't do it.
Don't do it. Anyway, again, I'd been doing the Craigslist thing, and I started doing some meetups. That was kind of a new thing at the time. People were doing these meetups, and so our friends from the Creative Edge Studios.
I do remember now. Okay, yes, now I remember. Now that you said that, yes, I do remember, because I also was like, I'm going to attend this, because this was still like when I was fairly new myself, the agency, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, and so we were just both at the same meetup, and I think they had arranged some sort of scenes to do as a sort of fun thing.
Did we do any scenes? I don't remember.
I don't think so.
We did.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Was that like a one and done meeting? Because I don't remember any more meetings after that.
It was, yeah.
But you know what? It was just what we needed. And it was just...
It put the two of us together, and you started telling me about the Belle Agency, and I didn't have an agent at that point. But it was like kind of this...
It was divine. It was divine intervention.
It was, yeah.
I always say the universe has your back, and you were thinking about it, and then we had this one random meetup that we never did again.
And for me, like the idea of, okay, I'm going to sign with somebody, that sort of makes it like I'm committed to this thing now.
It's official.
And I want to say it goes back 10 plus years. that we've been working together. I don't know exactly when that happened, but it's been a long time. I remember feeling like I was sort of one of your first talent, because it felt to me like you were still getting started.
Yeah, it was pretty new back then. It was pretty new.
So anyway, that's a little bit of how we know each other. So we just kind of a random meetup type scenario, networking. Yeah. And so I remember the conversation, like, I'm not really a model. And it's funny, I've gotten cast for a lot of modeling gigs.
You are a model, Mike, okay? Look yourself in the mirror.
Right,
and say
yeah.
to yourself, I am a model.
I'm smart enough.
Yeah, exactly. And I can be a model.
Yeah. So anyway, I've done modeling. I got into it for the acting because that's what was interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And I will say, you know, I have a look. Everybody's got a look. And mm-hmm. my look kind of lends itself to a few different types of roles.
Yep.
So I get a police officer or military type roles a fair amount. I've never been either, but that's okay. I'm happy to do that. Yeah. And I feel like
you can live vicariously through these roles.
Yeah. And I have a lot of respect for those people. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's an honor almost to get to portray those people, in the work that I do. So,
I can see you being Santa Claus. I mean, not the big jolly Santa Claus, but
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did you know that I do a Santa Claus thing?
No, I didn't actually.
Okay. Yeah, I do. Yes, I am Santa Claus, actually.
Okay, see? I know what I'm talking about. Okay.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you got it. You nailed it. I mean, obviously, I'm wearing the get-up and the beard and all of that.
See, I got a good eye. Good eye.
That's funny that you would say that. No, I do a Santa thing every year.
That's great.
Because, the quick thing on that, it's for Boogie and the Yo-Yos, which is a somewhat regional band that...
Yeah, you know what? I never get to see you perform because it's always some day that I can't do it.
Oh, that you can't, yeah.
I know. Why aren't you planning this better?
I don't know. Maybe I probably need to tell you more, like when I'm...
Exactly. I love when people tell me, like other people that have bands, like Troy, who signed with me. I don't know if you know Troy or not, but he's in a band, and he told me he was going to be in Green Bay, and I could make it, and I ended up showing up. So I'm all about supporting my talent in their other ventures as well. So I'm here for you guys if I know about it and I can make it work.
I love it. Well, I the other thing I think about too is that you're a single mom with four kids, and evenings are probably crazy, and the time with your kids is precious.
You know, it used to be crazier, but see, now my kids are getting older. Remember, I get to have friends now.
It's like, yeah, exactly. I know. I'm glad we had this conversation, because now you're going to get invitations to my shows.
So. Well, you know what? I was just saying to someone, I go, it's kind of like now I get to live my 20s, but I'm smarter and wiser and have more money. You know, it's better because in my 20s, I was saying on my 21st birthday, I was actually sober. I took my brother out. He got drunk. I drove him home. And then, you know, I had my first child when I was 25. And then I was just dedicated to raising my kids. So I didn't do all those things. I don't feel like I ever really kind of lived my 20s. Maybe I had like a year in there.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like, cool. Now I get to do this stuff, and I'm older, I'm wiser, more money, and you know, and I can travel doing this stuff. So it's way better.
And right now everybody's kind of doing the math in her head. They're like, wait a minute, she's got adult children. Oh. First one, 25. She doesn't look that old.
People say that. You should, you know, years ago when they were so I probably looked younger, obviously, when they were younger, and I'd have four of them at the store, and people used to think I was like the babysitter, you know, holding these kids around. Yeah. I was like, that's no, funny. These are my children.
Yeah.
These are my kids. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not supposed to talk about age, right? But no. We talk about it so much in this industry.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Well, because all the castings have an age.
They do. But, like, you know, I think it should go by like how you look.
How you look. Yeah.
Because sometimes mm-hmm. they'll be like, what's your actual age? Well, forget that.
Doesn't
because
matter.
You're not going to believe that. And
doesn't
that's
matter.
Not going to work for your casting.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, my age demographic, I don't fit into.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I know.
Again, without, well, we kind of already talked. We're getting close to the ARP card.
I will say that I've always kind of looked my age. So for me, it's always been pretty appropriate.
Okay. So you don't understand.
No, I understand.
You're like, I don't get you.
But vicariously.
Okay.
I understand vicariously.
Well, you know, my parents look real young too. I never think that they look as, so thank you parents for the great genes that you've given me. Because I always say that I'm constantly dehydrated. So it's not that I'm drinking enough water, guys. Okay. That is not it. And I'm eating all the chocolate and the fried food. So
good for you.
I know. I'm like, well, I try not to tell people. I'm telling people now. See, I usually don't tell people that because I don't want people to be angry, because I am full support of healthy eating. And not that I don't eat healthy. I love salmon and, you know, good foods too, but it's a balance.
It is a balance. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So your advice is eat the food.
You know what? Eat the food, travel. I was thinking about that today. I don't know. I got really melancholy before I came here, I think. And I, like, in the drive, I didn't even listen to any music on the way here.
Really?
No, because I was just thinking about...
Just quiet?
Yeah.
So it's like meditation then.
Yeah, I was just thinking about my kids and all the things that we've, like, that I've gone through as a parent, as an adult, watching them grow, the things that they go through, and just, just like life stuff and just how grateful I am for everything. It was a whole gratitude session, really, Mike.
Yeah.
Well, like 45 minutes.
It's good to have that reflection. I'm glad I've created that opportunity.
Thank you for making me drive out here. Yeah. No podcast. Here I said I'm going to be listening to podcasts. Know what I do when I don't have to do anything else? Silence.
Yeah. Silence. Yeah. That's okay. I mean, I think we should all probably do that more often.
Hey, have you ever done a sound bath?
I haven't. No.
Okay. And it's not an actual bath. Sometimes when you say that, people are like, we're jumping in a tub. Uh-huh. No, there's no water involved. But actually a gal that I have signed, her name's Bobby Jo.
Okay.
And she, if you have not done a sound bath, you need to go to one of hers. I've gone to a couple different ones. She is the best. You're going to feel so great. So it's like a meditation, but with sound as well. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know how else to explain it. You need to immerse yourself in this experience, and then we need to circle back and you're going to tell me how it went for you.
I appreciate the suggestion there. I'm not like, this feels like a spa kind of thing to me.
It's not a spa thing. So there's no spa related, and it can be held anywhere. Mike, you know what? You could have, she also does like do private events. You could have her just come here. We could have done it on the podcast. We could set a sound bath.
Is it always like one-on-one, or could she do it like a group?
No. She does have some groups. For instance, she has some dates that are at Flow Yoga Studio in De Pere.
Okay.
So she just has them there and people sign up and go, and there are guys and girls. What's nice about Flow Yoga Studio is that they have these really nice big cushions you can lay on, and it's super comfy. Otherwise, you know, you have to bring like a yoga mat, which is not super comfortable. So if I go anywhere else, I'll bring my yoga mat, and I don't do yoga, but I have a yoga mat. I did yoga for 6 weeks. It was the hardest thing in my life. So props to everybody that does it on like a daily or weekly basis.
I love yoga.
Do you?
I do,
I love stretching. Yoga, I don't know. Maybe I just am not committed enough to be a yogi.
Yeah, well, so are you doing like yoga, just the stretching stuff, or are you doing the whole,
I don't know, it was the whole thing.
Spiritual yoga.
There was no spiritualness going on, but I did like at the end when we shut our eyes. And
Shavasana, that's your favorite?
No, child's pose was my favorite.
Oh, okay.
But you know what I did? That aerial yoga. Have you ever done that?
Uh-uh.
Wow. That is the hardest thing in your life beyond yoga. Okay. So you're using a lot of upper body strength. Uh-huh. You're climbing up on these like silk rope thingies. I was up in the rafters of this.
Sounds dangerous.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, I could have killed myself. And then they have you like kind of flip down. Oh my God, the struggle was real. You know what we should do? We need to do a video of us doing aerial yoga. Uh-huh. I've only done it once. And it was.
And then we finish with the sound bath.
Yes. Actually, that sounds amazing. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about a group event because I like to throw parties and have unique experiences.
And this
part
is,
of that.
And the sound bath is just, it's super relaxing. And for people like myself, or maybe like you, that are running all the time, going around, it's just such a nice disconnection and just relaxation. It's kind of like a meditation, but there's all these sounds going around. And I tell you, like, Bobby Jo is the best. I've brought so many people to a sound bath with me and that have experienced that now. And they're like, oh my God, she is the best. And I love her. And I mean, I'm not all kidding. Right. You need to go. And
so this is turning into a little bit of an ad for Bobby Jo.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but she's just so great.
What's her business called, or is it just Bobby Jo?
Love Bobby Jo on Facebook. I think it's B-O-B-B-I-E,
okay.
J-O, separate. I hope she listens to this, but right. I can never say enough good stuff about her, and her sound baths are just, I thought about doing one for the agency, and I couldn't find a time and date that was working. Because I was going to do one before the holidays and invite whoever wanted to come.
Sure.
But now it's on you, Mike. It's on you.
Oh, come on. See, are you delegating? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, see? 2024 is my year of delegation. And as we go into that, what is this, the solstice? Pushing it forward, delegating to you.
Good for you. I'm glad I could help you.
Exactly. You're really helping me in so many ways.
Professional development.
Exactly.
So we've been at this for coming up, I think, right around an hour. And I want to think about kind of transitioning here, kind of wrapping us up. I think we could probably go for a couple more hours.
We could. And for people that don't know, like we have like hosted, I did the top model event for 5 years with the agency. That's when it was newer too, to get like the word out of who we were and that we had people here that they could book. Mm-hmm. And so Mike was actually a co-host with me on some of those events as well. And I just gave us like a couple of talking points and then we just improvised it.
We did.
So,
yeah, which
and
was a lot of fun, by the way.
So much fun. And I did a live once just to a small group of my talent and Mike ended up on the live with me. So we rolled with that too.
We did. Yeah. And we just improvised.
Like, yeah. And I was like, I should always have you on lives with me.
That was funny. Cause I think you were trying to go live and you ended up,
I ended up in like a weird group in my group.
Yeah.
It was like a group within a group.
Well, somehow I ended up being like a co-host. And so now we're,
then we had Katrina though on a phone call, which then she hung up, but she was also part of that.
Yeah.
And she ditched out because it was just us then.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, the universe keeps leading us back together in a co-host situation.
Yeah,
so
we can make that happen.
I know.
So anyway, in terms of kind of final segment, before I get to that, but the final segment will really be kind of advice and, you know, what would you tell folks? But we've been talking so much. I see a nearly full cocktail.
Exactly. Don't worry, I'll down it before I leave.
But we haven't named it. So I'm wondering,
that's right.
I'm wondering if any naming inspiration has come to mind.
Mine has cherries in. It could be a Rudolph Holiday Fizz.
Rudolph Holiday Fizz. Okay.
I mean, that's an option.
What came to mind for me was really just naming it after the agency, the Bell.
Oh, that's so sweet and nice.
So I don't know if you like that or if that's a bad idea.
I love it.
But it's short and sweet, which this is tall
short
and sweet.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I love it.
That's an idea.
I love it. It's short and sweet with a cherry on top. Yes. Yes.
Perfect.
It just all came together.
Mine has a...
talk about what yours has. Yeah, okay.
It's a kiwi. But
with a kiwi on top.
I went with it. I don't know... again, I was thinking holiday inspired, so I was thinking
the holiday bell,
red and green. I find that the shorter the name, like the more like,
the more apt people are.
Somehow it's just like okay, that sounds like something I'd like
bow.
To try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You like that?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Should we go with it?
We're going with it.
All right, the bell. Final segment. One of the things I like to talk to like the audience, the listeners, and just to get a little bit of kind of like parting wisdom. So as you think about, as I think about your, what you could talk about, you know, acting, modeling, but you could also talk about, hey, what if I wanted to be, like maybe I'm aspiring actor model and I want to get signed by the Bell Agency. You know, it could be like, what are the advice do you have for people who are getting started, who want to try this industry out?
So, yeah. So if you're new and you are submitting online, one great thing to tell you is please don't submit a group photo. I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Don't have a photo with your ball cap on, your sunglasses. These are all true stories right here.
Of course they are, yeah.
because I don't know. Or sometimes people don't wait for the page to load, and then they submit no pictures, and it's just black screens. So again, I don't know who that is. But you don't have to have professional photos to submit. But I would say moving forward, if you actually want to be a player in this actual game, and it's not just going to be a onesie twosie you don't care thing. Like, you actually want to get booked. Professional photos are going to be where you want to go, mm-hmm. because I have a lot of strong actors and a lot of strong talent in the talent pool that have professional photos. So imagine yourself going to a cocktail party and everybody's dressed to the nines and you showed up in a flannel and jeans. So that's just the difference. It doesn't mean that you're not talented. It's just, that's the first thing that the client sees.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're a new actor, you know, getting training under your belt, but look at who is also training you too. Don't just pick anybody. But getting training under your belt, maybe work on student projects, at least to just get yourself comfortable on set and those type of things. Not looking at the camera. Don't look at the camera mm-hmm. unless you're a spokesperson. Mm-hmm. That's my biggest advice. Don't look at the camera. and be able to learn your lines. Learn from other people. I mean, I think this is a lifelong growth opportunity, even for myself. You're always learning something new and learning from other people. So... and don't be afraid to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Ask questions. You know, we're all, I think, in this industry, super supportive of one another. I don't know anybody that's like a big jerk about things, I guess. So,
yeah.
So if you want to be, you know, I would say look into getting training if it's something that you're new at, student projects, getting great shots. Just get yourself comfortable. Start working on some of that stuff.
So last question.
Yeah.
What advice would you give Heather, I don't know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, things that you know now that you wish you'd known then, or wisdom that you'd love to give to that younger you?
The first thing that came to mind was that it's all going to be okay. I mean, honestly, that is something I was thinking about when I was driving here too, was that I thought about all of the trials and tribulations that took me to get here to where I'm at. And and not just my agency, but just life too. Raising kids to adulthood and all of that. My greatest piece of advice is that it is all going to be okay. And if it's not okay, then it's not over. Like, it's all going to work itself out, and maybe not in the way that you thought it was going to,
mm-hmm.
but probably in a better way. And, and just really believe that. And it's hard in times of trial and tribulation and confusion mm-hmm. to believe that. Cause trust me, there were times where I was crying on the side of my bed thinking this is never going to get better. And I thought on the drive here, well, everything is so much better than it. It's everything is so different, and mm-hmm. just a different perspective, and just be grateful for what you have, because that is the way to bring more into your life.
I think that is a great note to end on. So thank you again, Heather, for being on the show. Thank you for all of the great fun conversation and the wisdom here. And, thank you for being my agent all these years, and have yourself a Merry Christmas, and hug those kids, and folks.
And drink my drink.
Yeah. Enjoy the bell. And folks, that's a wrap. And we hope that you enjoyed this episode of Amperitif Podcast. Oh, hey, one more thing. We'd love it if you followed us on social. Amperitif on Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and Pinterest, and Amperitif Podcast on Instagram.